There are plenty of choices to fill vacancies on the Haines and Skagway Borough Assemblies, and Haines Cruise visitor numbers are up as docking fee waivers go into effect. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. 7 people have applied for one vacancy on the Haines Borough Assembly. They include the person behind an effort to recall 3 assembly members. The Skagway Assembly also has an empty seat. 4 people applied for that position. In Haines, Don Turner Jr., Stephanie Scott, Judy Erickson, Paul Nelson, James Hart, Andrew Gray, and Sean Mady turned in letters of interest by the 5 p.m. deadline Monday. Turner is the main sponsor on 3 recall petitions, targeting Tom Morfitt, Heather Lendy, and Tresham Gregg. The sponsors have until June 12th to turn in signatures needed to get the recall questions on a ballot. Scott has the most recent borough government experience of the group. She served as mayor of Haines about 3 years ago. Erickson ran unsuccessfully for assembly last October. She is a bookkeeper with the school district. Nelson is a longtime resident and business owner. He served once before in an appointed assembly seat. James Hart is a Chilkoot Indian Association tribal council member and culture camp teacher. Gray is a civil engineer who has lived in town for about a year. Mady has been in Haines for 2 years and works as an apartment complex manager. In Skagway, Monica Carlson, Nathan Helmer, Carl Klupar, and Dominic Rotier applied for the vacant seat by Monday's 5 p.m. deadline. KHNS will have more information about the Skagway and Haines applicants in Tuesday evening's newscast. 2 years ago, Haines officials decided to make a financial sacrifice in an effort to increase cruise ship traffic. The Assembly approved a 3-year program to give a 50% docking fee discount to cruise ships tying up at Port Chilkoot Dock. The waiver program went into effect this year, and Haines Tourism Director says it's showing results.
We're definitely on the increase.
Leslie Ross is Haines' outgoing tourism director. The town's first cruise ship arrives in less than a week. It kicks off a season that will see about 46,000 cruise passengers. That's about an 8,000-person increase from last year. Haines will see about 20 more port calls this summer compared to 2016.
You know, I can't say it's completely from the incentive that we're offering, but I think that incentive program, joined with our personal visitations to the cruise lines in Miami and Seattle, made a huge difference.
The docking discounts this year add up to about $54,000 that is not going into borough coffers. But other revenues, like sales tax from the increased number of ships, should help offset that cost. Most of the new ships are on the small side. They include the 450-passenger Seabourn Sojourn and the 200-passenger The World. Ross says next year, UnCruise plans to add Haines to its list of destinations.
I think that Haines is very attractive to those smaller and mid-size level ships, and I think they're a great fit for Haines. They're looking for more of the exclusive ports. And again, looking at that more adventure excursions and the arts and culture.
There are also 4 bigger ships docking in Haines, including 2 Holland America vessels on their regular Wednesday schedule. The 2 largest ships are also the first to arrive.
There's no practice run for us this season. We have to be ready to go here.
The 2,500-passenger Radiance of the Sea makes its only stop in Haines this Sunday, May 21st. The Grand Princess makes its first of 3 planned visits on May 23rd. Ross hopes the bigger ships will make more frequent visits in upcoming years. The close to 50,000 passengers expected in Haines is dwarfed in comparison to its closest neighbor, Skagway, which will see about 800,000 cruise visitors. Ross says Haines' proximity to Skagway is actually one of the biggest draws for cruise companies.
The access to the railroad is huge. It's a huge attraction for people coming up to the area, and I like to look at that as an asset to Haines.
Ross is referring to the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, a wildly popular shore excursion in Skagway. But she says it's also tough for Haines to be situated right between two major cruise ports.
Haines is seen as a secondary destination to the larger destinations of Skagway and Juneau.
Ross says dealing with cruise traffic is a balancing act between the economic benefit of more ships and the desire to keep Haines' distinction as a quieter, more intimate experience.
Trying to maintain Haines as that, you know, we want to maintain our town as a more intimate destination for both cruise passengers and for independent travelers. We have to have that balance.
Things are looking good for independent travelers as well. Ross says the Alaska Marine Highway ferry schedule for Haines is much improved over last year.
We are back to our day ferry and only an occasional day when we don't have the link to Skagway.
Ross hopes the independent traveler and cruise visitor numbers continue to rise. But since her last day as tourism director is in early June, it will fall to her successor to help carry the momentum forward. Have you ever wanted to go online and buy some fresh, locally grown tomatoes or kale? If all goes as planned, this summer, Haines residents will have that option. A group of area nonprofits are starting up an online farmers marketplace to connect producers and fishermen with buyers. The goal is to encourage and grow the local food economy.
How'd your plants look?
Oh, the ones that you started? The zucchinis? I told you, everything in your greenhouse looks beautiful.
A group of gardeners is gathered around a laptop in the Haines Public Library. They're here to learn about a new option to sell their extra produce.
Salt and Soil Marketplace.
Yeah, see, like you go to the home.
The Salt and Soil Marketplace is an online farmer's market.
Meredith Pocart heads the Tokchinik Watershed Council, one of four organizations behind this initiative.
And it'll be a place where local growers and fishermen and food foragers and gardeners, basically anything that you could sell at a farmer's market, including crafts, you can sell through the Salt and Soil Marketplace online.
Pocart says the idea started a few years ago when Tokchinik coordinated between local growers and the school to supply potatoes and carrots in school lunches. From there, the idea grew. The Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition conducted a feasibility study to assess the market in Haines for what's called a food hub. The report emphasized Haines and the entire state of Alaska's reliance on outside food shipments.
Most of the food in our grocery stores comes in on a barge each week, and it's a kind of a necessity for maintaining our communities. It's not like we're going to completely do away with that, but the more that we can produce locally and buy locally, that keeps that money within our community, and it just healthier. It's kind of all around. It fosters more of a sense of community and a sense of place.
Haines already has a farmers market on Saturdays during the summer, and some farmers and gardeners have their own systems to sell their food to other people. But Pocart says those options don't meet the full demand. She hopes an online market will give more people access to local food.
Hopefully it ends up being easy on both the vendor and the consumer, and that way it can encourage more people to develop a food business and kind of foster that and test it out on a small scale and see how it goes and if their products sell.
This year, the Salt and Soil Marketplace is testing this approach in just Haines and Juneau. But the goal is to expand to more parts of Southeast if all goes well this summer. People who buy products on Salt and Soil will have to pick up their orders at specified locations and times. In Haines, the options are Saturday mornings at the farmers market or Monday afternoons at the Tokchinik office. In Juneau, pickups will be Thursdays at Hooked Seafoods. In the next few weeks, Pocart is working to get producers signed up on the website. Gardener Leslie Evenden has been helping.
We got Gina signed on, but I can't get her
I can't get her to the producer's page.
Pocart says there might be some technology issues to work out, but the plan is for the site to start taking orders at the beginning of June. The marketplace is funded for 3 years through a USDA grant. Pocart says the goal is for the program to eventually pay for itself so it can continue in future years. For CageNest News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.